This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting today in my hot seat, I have the honor to introduce you to the staff info security engineer at ServiceNow. Namrata Barpanda is also an award-winning woman in cyber. Namrata, welcome to the hot seat today.
Thank you so much, Gary. Excited to be here.
So you've been in this space for a little while. What got you into cybersecurity? What were you thinking about when you were younger?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question to start with. When I was a teenager and done with my graduation, I started my job as a SOC engineer, Security Operations Center engineer. And back then, it was in 2015, 2016, it was like the L1, L2, and L3 level, right? So as a fresher or, freshman, graduated from college, you'll have kind of limited access and, you just do what you are asked to do, right? And then something when I see the real, and always being a younger, you always want to see I want to see what's real time, things going on. When you see the attack and how we are defending it, how in a SOC we are just, we have set of rules. And then when you write your own rules and you see that is getting detected and it is, we are mitigating. So, but then at the same time, you have some sort of limited things we should do this. And then if something you need to write your code or, something you need to do, you need to map with the kill chain or anything. Okay. You reach out to the higher level and then do it. And slowly that, got into my interest. So I spent there 3.5 years in SOC. And then I moved to detection engineering, where I was writing the content and then make sure doing the testing, mimic the testing, keeping in cyber kill chain and MITRE framework, concentrating that and then making sure, okay, my rules or my detection, whatever I wrote, that is getting detected. So that was really exciting. And I thought okay, this is the really cool field to be in. And I never looked back. And I started with cyber. So yeah, I'm super excited that I did that decision.
That's great. So having spent years in SOC and understanding cyber, what kind of issues are we facing from threat actors that you kind of see in the day-to-day, and what should we do about it?
Yeah, sure. Actually, when I was, back in 2021, if you remember, there's a Log4Shell vulnerability happened, right, in December. And then it was a 0 day. I mean, 0 day means something people don't know, there is no patch or there's no detection available or it is not known signature or anything, that kind of sort, right? But that doesn't mean we won't defend it. That doesn't mean we don't have the patch or it is not overnight you can do it. It takes time, right? And then writing detection for that and then seeing what is the pattern? What exactly the attackers are following, right? How they are trying to exploit, what is their payload? By seeing those and writing your own detection and then seeing that, okay, it is getting detected. And then how you mitigate that, how you make sure okay, now we are safe because we have detection in place. That is super exciting. And what happened is you see the traditional SOC, how they used to operate, they have single rule. Okay, we have something for scanning, reconnaissance, we have this. For the weaponization or for the command control, we have, rules or we have set of signature which will detect. But for the 0 day, there is no known signature, right? This is something new. So what happened is you keep all this thing in mind, how the attacker mindset works. Okay, they do the scanning or they see there's an opportunity for them to exploit the vulnerability because this company or this organization is prone to that. How do I exploit that and then get into the network and do the delivery and then get the command and control and finally whatever they wanted to achieve their action or objective. So keeping those thing in mind, what we did for the Log4Shell vulnerability, we write the detection as code, keeping all this different threat scenario in mind and threat identifier in mind and making this threat scenario, step one, step two, step three. And if you see all this identified trigger, then definitely something going on in your network. So that's how, keeping all identifier and threat scenario in mind, you write those detection and do the mimicking. Like, you know the same payload. Okay, what attacker is exploiting? So you have to think in a mind also a bad guy and also a good guy who like in offensive and defensive side. So that's where detection engineering, very like you really want it to be in where you can see both the side.
Wow. So in detection engineering, you're seeing a lot of exploits. The threat actors are going after the zero-day vulnerabilities, and it takes a little more time to harden it might next week's Patch Tuesday might not have the fix for Microsoft, so you have to really be on your toes. The
Exactly.
bad guys only have to be right once, but their ability to go after zero-day vulnerabilities means nobody knows there's no MITRE database for the CVE yet. So this is really high risk. So that's sounds like the attackers have gotten a lot smarter. I wonder if they're using artificial intelligence to help build their zero-day exploits against these vulnerabilities and, improve their pen testing of systems better than even the best of us. Do you think AI is helping the threat actors?
Of course, yeah. I mean, you know what? Like when the AI was not in place, you see like there are spelling mistake. There are when they are trying to launch the attack, right? It is not like they'll do one by one, right? It is some kind of like scripting and making sure like when they are using the AI, it is very polished. The message is polished. There is no mistake. There is no error, right? So you see like, okay, oh, this is, is it like the genuine one? But then it's not only the AI model or the machine learning is helping only the bad guy. No, it is helping the blue team as well, right? The detection side, the whoever is protecting the network for them as well. I'll give the example how. Because as we talk about the zero day, right? And as I mentioned, this is unknown. No one knows. This is like there is no available signature. Like there is no available signature which can detect, right? Your traditional firewall or your IDS, intrusion detection system and prevention system, it won't detect it. It won't prevent it. So how? And also you can ask, oh, okay, so the machine learning, like you train the data set and everything, right? And this is a zero day, so which is unknown signature. So how the model will get to know about it, right? How the model knows that this is something malicious or this is something, a bad actor is trying to do. How the machine learning model knows that, okay, this is something weird and I need to flag it. So what happened is the model is trained in a such a way that it knows the pattern, okay, right? For example, somebody trying to deliver something, like for example, through phishing, through anything. And then when you get a file, right, or something like, for I'm just giving an example, it launch it it try to do the outbound connections, it try to connect to the network from inside to outside, outbound, and then it's writing is it does like scripting it and everything, and then you see like, oh, okay, this is not normal, this is not like how the things work. So this is something different, even though it looks not suspicious, but the traits and like the way it when one what once it is in your machine, the way it like change the behavior and everything, the model knows this is something I haven't seen before, and that's something need to flag. So that is something called behavioral analysis, right? There's something called like threat hunting plus the supervised and unsupervised model, because what happens is it knows how the machines or how the like something has the attacker behaviors and all. They are trying to do the outbound connection and trying to maintain the persistent, like persistent connection, and then they do the command and control. So it is not like the normal software behaves. And if there's some software behaving like that, means it is something like malicious or something like it is not right. So it flagged it immediately. And that's how it is not only helping the attacker, but also helping on the defense side. So that's how like AI having AI, it's really great that it is actually making our life easier for sure.
So AI is like kind of like a gun. It can be used to defend yourself, and it can be used by the bad guys to break in and hold you hostage. We were talking earlier, and you said there's a really cool framework. I think the cybersecurity or cyber kill chain framework with stages that you use for conversations with CISOs. Could you walk us through that framework?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, so the cyber kill chain, it has like reconnaissance, like, when the attacker or when anyone, like the normal, we also the blue team also, do the scanning activity, right? Your vulnerability scanning team, they do the scanning and all that falls under reconnaissance. So you see there's a scanning activity going on in your network. Few things like we know it is from our vulnerability team, so we just kind of ignore. Maybe we whitelist their IP, or maybe like we know that is part of the routine activity what they are performing. But when you see something new, and then and anyone can scan your network, right? You don't have just no control. You just need to make sure like you have detection and prevention in place, so that you need to able to identify, okay, somebody is trying to perform reconnaissance. Then the next stage is come the weaponization. And then once the recon happened and it is successful, then the next stage is weaponization. And then it is delivery. So this is three, in the cyber kill chain, this is three, first stage one, stage two, and stage three. So what happened is, like, if it is the first stage successful, then okay, it is the bad guy, is able to successful into your network, and they, like, if it is the kind of software they want to deliver or some kind of malicious attachment, so that's come under weaponization and de delivery. Then it is then they can exploit, and then that is a fourth stage of kill chain. Then the installation, and then it is command and control, which is like, if somebody is in like in stage six in command and control, you know there's a problem. And the last is the some people call action, and some people care. Says like, okay, they get whatever objective they had, they just achieved it. So it's action and objective. So when it comes to like the C-suite guy, right? Whether it's like CISO, they always ask, okay, if you see something, then what stage we are in? Are we in recon? Like, are we in stage first? So for them, like, oh, they don't re this is not like something concerning. Okay, so many people can scan your network, and that is normal. And then they are like, oh, it's not panicking. But yeah, if you are in stage two or stage three, it's like, okay, what did you detect? What happened? Who is trying to access your network? Who got into your network? What is the next stage? So that's why it's make them like easy to able to understand, like, okay, what in which stage we are in. Right, and what we did for the containment, and then the incident response and everything kicks in based on what stage you are in. So it is e easy for anyone to reference it, keeping the cyber kill chain in mind.
That's great. Great advice. And speaking of great advice, we have 500,000 job openings in the US alone for cybersecurity. There's, a lot of young women in high school, just like you were, thinking, what should I do for a living? What field should I go in? Do you have any advice for young ladies to get into cybersecurity and why it's such an exciting field?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, when I was graduating from my master's, and then I know that a lot of my juniors, they were asking like, okay, why cybersecurity? And in their mindset, what they have heard, like, it's kind of critical job. You have a lot of responsibility. You need to make sure like nothing bad is happening. And then they are scared of 24/7. So keeping in mind, like, okay, when you are in SOC, or whether you are an incident responder, the attackers will, it's not like, okay, we'll come only in daytime, okay? We won't bother you in night, we won't bother you on weekends, or we won't bother you on holidays, Christmas. So that's why people, they actually, like, scared. I'm like, no, probably this will be a very, a lot of responsibility job, and they're kind of not scared, but yeah, scared to get in this field. But I would say, like, there's nothing to be scared. This is really exciting if you really enjoy software and then how the world is operating, because now everybody read the news, right? What happened in the Now, like in Microsoft, what happened with the, some time back with the CrowdStrike, right? And when like everything was like kind of down, and then the flight operation and everything suspended, right? So if you really feel like, oh, that is something interesting, and if you want to know more and more about it, this is a great field to be in for sure. Like, don't be worried about like incident response and all. You got it, and you are not doing it alone. This is not you are alone, right? You have a set of army. And then once you are in this field, I can just bet like you'll enjoy and you'll have fun. And then you will be thanking to yourself, like, okay, glad that I joined this. And then, like, in space of cybersecurity, because it is really interesting. And you see the real-time things, right? What people are, the bad guys thinking versus the good guy, like how you are attacking people and then how you're defending it. So you'll feel proud of yourself by end of the day.
Amrata, that's great insights and advice for young women to get into cyber. It is an exciting field, and you do get to sleep. But again, you are a cyber first responder. I'm assuming you don't have a 724 pager. Hopefully, they got rid of pagers. But I'm just curious: is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, sure. I mean, last but not the least, I'll talk about it. Sometime it is rough. Sometime when you are an incident responder, like, in 0 day, you have to be in the office or, making sure everything defense in place. And sometime, even though you are in, you're done with your work and you're sleeping, sometime I get dream and I like swear, like, okay, making sure, okay, what happened? Like, I put this detection in place. Is it like working fine? Anything I missed? Anything that TTPs, tactic, technique, or procedure, anything has changed, which I don't know, but the attacker are also smart, smarter. Of course, they are also smart. So anything has changed. So sometimes it is nightmare, but after doing it for decades, 9+ years, almost 10 years, now I don't feel that. Now I don't have that fear, but I do enjoy a lot my day-to-day work. And then enjoy your work. There is nothing to be stressed about, and you got it.
Again, great advice. Folks, you heard it here first from Namrata Barpanda, an award-winning woman in cyber. She's a staff info security engineer at ServiceNow. She's really a great talent in cybersecurity and expert. So visit her online at LinkedIn.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert, and my good friend, Gary Milewski.